So nice. Well, we are in our third week of Advent. We have one more week. Advent is the time of preparation for the unfoldment of what we call in unity our Christ nature, our Christ self. The first week is hope. Hope it used to be called kind of like a weak faith. I hope that's true. I hope that happens. I hope there's candy. I hope. But hope really is faith at work. Hope is the realization that there's good at work. That in our souls we know that something good is coming. Something is unfolding perfectly. And faith helps to fuel then that good into our lives. The second week last week was about the gift of peace. We talked about how we need peace to let the Christ of us be born, to be brought forth. Peace is paramount in having the good that we're looking for. If we don't have peace, we don't have God. So we need to be centered and calm in that peace. As we talked about last week, Jesus in the boat was asleep. And the storm, the ship was being tossed here and there, and the disciples wake up, "Don't you care, we're going to die." And he opened an eye and said, "Oh, peace be still." And it was calm. Peace is not fighting. He wasn't fighting the wind. He was just simply looking and saying, "I call forth the God from within, and I know that nothing outside of myself can fight the power of God." So we need that peace to let our own God self come forth. And this week we're talking about love, the power of love, the gift of love from within. As metaphysical as our English language is, one area that it has an extreme limitation in is love, the word love itself. Other languages have a lot of different words for different types of love, but in English we have one, love, and then we have to explain exactly what it is that we're talking about. We know that love can mean many different things. Love can mean romantic love. It can mean family love, the love of a child or parent or pet. It can mean intense loyalty. It can mean, "I love the Yankees," which is very different than the love of a pet or a person or a mother. It can reveal a very intense desire for something. "I love chocolate." Love chocolate. Making love, we all know what that means. Different kind of love than chocolate. We won't go there. We also have synonyms for love: affection, devotion, fondness, infatuation, caring, longing, desire, and so on. But usually when we talk about love on a day-to-day basis, it's usually in the context of either romantic love, being in love, or the love we have for our friends and family. But one of the most important kinds of love that we haven't touched on is what the Greeks call agape love. It's a deep spiritual love that transcends and goes beyond anything that we as humans deal with. It goes beyond our human emotions into the pure aspects of what love really is about. In unity, we call that divine love. That which we call love in our lives is truly only a microcosm of the love of God within us. Every spiritual system agrees that love and the power of love is located in the heart, that the heart is the home of love and it radiates from there into the body, into the mind, and into our lives. Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore defined love as the unifying, harmonizing power of the universe. The unifying, harmonizing power of the universe. He also said that love is the cosmic glue that holds everything together, holds your body together, it holds this theater together, it holds the planet and the universe from flying off in chaos. So love is really the essence of the true nature of God. This kind of divine love is the power that Gandhi and Martin Luther King and St. Francis of Assisi and Jesus the Christ demonstrated and taught. They said, here is what I've discovered about love, and if you apply it to your own life, here's how your life can be. These individuals changed the planet because they had a deep understanding of that love of God within them and within all of us, even if we weren't demonstrating it yet. That love goes beyond merely feeling good or feeling cuddly or feeling affectionate, even though those are also aspects of love. But the power of bringing forth healing on a personal level and on a planetary level really is the love that we're looking to express this time of the year. It's my belief that Jesus was the first teacher in recorded history to bring the power of God's love to the planet in a form that was usable to others, in a way that was really teachable, that we could get on a number of different levels. Now, of course, since Jesus was on the planet, others have done it as well. But I believe that Jesus really raised the consciousness of the planet to a level where it was possible for Gandhi or Dr. King or Meister Eckhart, that wonderful 13th century mystic, or the Buddha, Mother Teresa, and others to be able to do it as well. So how can I let the power of love flow forth powerfully enough to heal my life, to heal your life? How can we make contact with divine love in our lives a lot more than we have been to bring forth vibrant health, overflowing prosperity, peace in mind, relief from depression, from addiction, from anxiety, and to have joy daily in our lives that may seem to not be present as much as we would really like it to be? Some people, maybe you today, can't get your mind around the truth that I can be loving and happy every single day of my life. No matter what may be going on around me, no matter what's going on at work or at home, or even within my own body and mind. We may wonder, listening to the possibility of being divine love itself, how can I be loving when I have constant pain in this body? When it's drawing all of my attention to that area? How can I be loving and joyful when Christmas is coming and I have no money to buy gifts? It's really hard to feel the spirit when I feel that I can't contribute in the way that I would like to. How can I be joyful and loving when I really don't even want to go on living a life that is just one problem after another? How do I find that love within when everything is just so bleak and doesn't seem to have any answer to it, even though I pray and I come here and I try to do the work that I hear about? I don't see God. I don't see the love of God anywhere in my life. Where is God? Where is this God you're talking to me about? I don't feel it. I don't see it. God is love? I just don't get it. Mother Teresa said that as soon as she became a nun, she didn't feel God anymore. She said, I just had to keep going, and I had to keep loving, and I had to keep being the example, even though I didn't feel it myself. And she said, all the way to the end of their life, she said, I just know that somehow God is at work in me, even though I don't feel it. Sometimes people come up to me after the service and they're upset with me for one reason or another. And you know, a lot of times it isn't even about what I say, because sometimes people come up, they say, thank you for talking about unicorns and rainbows, where that day I hadn't mentioned a unicorn or a rainbow at all. But in their minds, they heard unicorns and rainbows. I said, yay, good for you. Go use it. Go forth. And let the unicorns and rainbows speak to you in the way that you need to. And then sometimes they hear things and they get really upset about things I did not talk about. But sometimes I do push a button in you that I didn't know I was pushing. But for you, it was something that just came back up. See, life has a way of doing that. When we need a healing, something will be said, something will keep coming up over and over and over and over again until you heal it. Now, I may seem like I'm instigating it, but really, you're just hearing in your own spirit self say, here's what I need to look at. Here's the healing that I need to accomplish. So if I'm saying something, don't blame me. Blame God. It's your own God self. Or sometimes I'll hear, this isn't the way life is. You're talking unicorns and rainbows up here, and that's really not the truth. I want real practical information from you. Or obviously you've never had a problem in your own life. That happened to me once at Lincoln Center. Somebody came up and said, well, you can get up there and talk about all that good stuff, but you obviously haven't had anything wrong in your own life. Or this stuff just sounds good, but it is really not practical. You know, spiritual principle is not practical at all. No, it sounds good. What are you, a Hallmark card? I like that one. Somebody called me a Hallmark card once. You're a walking Hallmark card. You know, the truth is I could not stand up here and share with you the truth that I understand if I hadn't lived it. If I'm not living it every single day or making the attempt at living this every single day. Without Unity Truth, I can tell you I probably will not be here today. I probably will not be on the planet. We're not for the truth. I was going in a direction that was really dangerous with drugs and other things that Unity helped turn around. So I could not be here today and share this with you if I hadn't experienced it for myself. Okay? Now, I may look like I've never had a problem in my life. But everybody has challenges. That's what being on the planet is. How do you know that you're going to still have challenges on the planet? You have a body. If you have a body, you're going to go through what we call this field trip of life. You're going to be learning every single day something about how powerful, how wonderful you are. And are we going to meet this pop quiz with saying, yes, God, I'm going to meet this challenge. Yes, I will continue to do so, even though I didn't get it. I had to take algebra twice. I did not understand the concept. I didn't understand the principles the first time around. The second time around, I did not understand the concept of the principles. And I said to the teacher, why do I have to take algebra? And she said, because if you're going to be an algebra teacher, you need to learn this. And I said, I can safely tell you, I will never teach algebra. I will never use this, and I have not used algebra to this day. So God bless algebra. If you like it fun, I bless you, and you can have my algebra. Those are wonderful concepts. It was wonderful to learn. I'm very grateful that I went through that and said, where's X? Here it is. Can I leave now? Okay, fine. So things of the world are foolish to spirit. Things of spirit are foolish to the world. That's what Scripture tells us over and over again. That what seems to not really work, like algebra, Jesus worked with it, and you let it unfold in you in the way that you need it to unfold. We can only apply these teachings, these principles of love to our lives and see it work. If you're applying the principles over and over again, you're going to get it. Eventually, I got algebra to the degree where I needed it. If you keep applying these spiritual principles over and over again, you're going to see them work. They are going to work for you in ways that are just will astound you as soon as it kicks in. One day, I was in Delphi. We went on a trip. I took Unity to Greece. And in Delphi, I decided to have a meditation across from where the oracle was. And I was having a little difficulty knowing where my ministry was going. I said, what am I doing this for? Every once in a while, I'll say, okay, God, am I doing what I need to do still? So I closed my eyes and I said, I need to know what I'm here to do. And I closed my eyes and for the first time, I heard the feminine voice of God. Before that, it always kind of sounded like my voice. This was completely different. It was the feminine voice of God that said, you're here to teach love. That's all. That's all it is. Everything else is commentary. It's all about love. And there was a bee flying around my head, and they said, this bee loves you. And it's protecting you while you're sitting here in meditation. And it kept flying around my head. And Spirit said, this is what divine love is. And all of a sudden, this little bomb went off inside of me. And I felt for the first time the pure power of love. I had felt it at moments in my life like that, but not so encompassing and not so overwhelming. And Spirit said, this is what you're here to teach. This is what you're here to live. the power of love. Just be the love of God, and that is what your ministry is. I opened my eyes, and the bee flew away. I was finished with my meditation. So the power of love is something that you are. It isn't something that is esoteric. It isn't something that that is nebulous. It is the literal truth of your being. You are, as our affirmation said, the power of love in the flesh. And are you willing to act like the divine love that you are? Now, the reason why more people aren't healing or prospering or finding peace and joy or a loving relationship is because we're not willing to claim our power of love. We're not willing to step forward and say, I am love in the flesh. To be the love of God, to acknowledge you even have, or I have, that power within. To use that wonderful energy of God to make my life work the way that I would like it to. Have you ever noticed that people they get really nice this time of year? A little more mellow, maybe. Maybe your boss gets a little mellower. Maybe your family is not as argumentative as they have been. That even people who are cranky the rest of the year tend to mellow out just a little bit. It's because the planetary consciousness is shifting. For the month of December, what happens is we begin to shift into a new perspective, a new understanding of love. And so the love energy begins to hit even if we don't really want it to. It tends to just smooth everything out just a bit. As a culture, we are allowing that Christ energy to manifest, at least for a few days, maybe from Christmas Eve to the next day. And then we're back to normal again, as was in my family. Now, to see how this wonderful energy works, I invite you to take a look at the book of Matthew for a moment. A young woman named Mary is visited by an angel telling her that she will bear a child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was naturally not happy to hear this news. It did not sound like a very good excuse to him. She said, honey, I have not been with a man, but the darndest thing happened. I'm pregnant, and it's God's son I'm carrying. Can you believe it? Oh, my God. Right? Joseph, of course, looks at her, says, the son of God. Okay. And he planned to leave her, to release her back to the universe, as we say. But that night, he had a dream that what Mary said was true. Now, in Unity, we believe that every Bible story has underlying it a deeper spiritual message for each one of us. Now, I personally don't believe in virgin birth. That I'm like Joseph. I say, really? A virgin birth? Now, it's really interesting that of the four Gospels, only two mention a virgin birth. And Paul, in all of his letters, has not one word. He said Jesus was born of a woman. That was it. Now, you'd think something as extraordinary as this would have been mentioned somewhere. But no, only two of the Gospels have the story, and they're both different. So we have to take these stories as an inner truth, as a way of how Spirit works in our lives from these mythical or metaphysical stories. So there is really a wonderful, terrific metaphysical story in the start of our Christmas story here. Mary represents the love power within, and Joseph represents the wisdom power within us. It's the heart that expresses love and finds out it's being birthed, that the good is being birthed first. But wisdom has to be present if love is to be manifested as holy and divine. And the head, which is what Joseph is, takes a while for it to really get. Like, I'm not buying this. This love thing, there's got to be a catch somewhere. Gotta read the fine print. This love thing doesn't work. Love heals, please. So Joseph wasn't buying the birth of the Christ within. But if it wasn't for Joseph and divine love, the ministry of Jesus wouldn't have happened. Joseph was a necessary part of love manifesting on the planet. It was Joseph who hid Jesus as a baby from Herod, as the story goes. It was Joseph who trained Jesus to be a carpenter, who gave him his formative factors in life. The subtitle for the book of Matthew could be called Jesus Had Two Daddies. I know. Joseph was his father. He had a mother and he had a father. Now, love and wisdom are two of our divine powers that we have for bringing the energy of God into our lives. And with all of our divine powers, they have to be balanced. One power that is unbalanced or is more powerful than the other is going to bring an imbalance to our lives. Love without wisdom is what? It's smothering. It's jealous. It's overbearing. Anybody have a mother like that? Or an ex-partner? Or a current one? We're holding you in prayer. And wisdom without love is hard-headed, is unfeeling, is judgmental, is unjust. Well, take a look at this. We just take a look at what our Supreme Court is going through right now. That's wisdom, in some ways, without love. There's little compassion right now on the Supreme Court for a lot of things that we're going through. So we're holding that in light, that love and wisdom now balance out so our country is healed. Both together, Mary and Joseph are needed to bring the Christ child, your Christ self, into the planet and into your life. Your use of love has to be wise and intelligent, and your use of wisdom has to be informed by love. Let me share for a moment what this Christ means from a new thought perspective. I know every time I say the word from here, some people are, I can see you flinch, especially if you're from a fundamentalist background or you're Jewish or another, or from another religious system. In unity, Christ does not mean Jesus. Christ is not the last name of Jesus. Christ did not die on the cross. Jesus, the man, did. It's an individual expression of God that you are. You are the Christ. Jesus came to teach. You are this Christ being. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. This is your true being. When you know this, you're going to do what I did and greater. So when you know that you're one with God, you're going to be expressing this Christ self that you are. Christ is the principle. It's from the Greek word Christos, meaning the anointed one, which in turn is a translation from the Hebrew word Messiah. Now, anointing was an ancient custom which designated that a person has been blessed by God for a special thing. Usually kings and queens, priests and bishops, and other individuals who served in a religious setting or were the head of something that were leaders, that were leading other people. But in our metaphysical philosophy, we know that our real nature is not human, it's divine. Human existence is a temporary form that we have taken to gather knowledge about the truth of who we are. More precisely, to remember the true nature as our offspring, as that we are offspring, divine offspring of God. We are created out of God's mind, out of the creative energy that God is. All of us are children of God, whether we choose consciously to act like it or not. The perfect idea of God is Christ, is God's child. You know, Jesus said, our Father. He didn't say, my Father, only. He said, you are God's child. You are the Christ. God doesn't have stepchildren. God doesn't have grandchildren. God doesn't have adopted children. You are literally the child of God. You are divinity radiating forth as much as you are allowing it to radiate. Now, in John 3, we have what is probably, I consider to be the most misunderstood scripture ever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. Orthodox Christians have used that phrase to substantiate their belief that what they call the only religion is the only true religion, Christianity. The truth is God only has one Son, you. There's only one Christ, and we are all part of that oneness. It's like the ocean has different waves. You are a wave in the great ocean of the Christ mind. You look like you're separate, but you're not. You are not separate. Even if you take a glass of water out of the ocean, the water doesn't become any less ocean than it is. You put the water back, it's still the same substance. So you are that Christ unfolding more and more. God is your Father, Mother. I am the Christ. God is my Father, Mother. That coworker who drives you crazy is God expressing, believe it or not. They just don't, they're not aware of it. They're not awakened to it. So if we're not awakened to our truth, we're going to be acting as something else. Now, she or he may not remember who they are, but it is within each and every one of us to awaken to that truth that I am a powerful, loving, vibrant child of God. One of the greatest spiritual teachers of the 19th century was Swami Vivekananda, who was actually a teacher to the Fillmores, our co-founders here at Unity. He said something really interesting once. He said, "The soul is stronger that has become one with the Lord. In your own Bible, what do you think was the cause of that strength in Jesus of Nazareth? It was that the Father and I are one. If I, as an Oriental, worship Jesus of Nazareth, there is only one way left to me, that is to worship him as God, nothing else." Wow. That's a pretty astonishing statement. This is something that you're going to hear from the most enlightened beings on the planet, the greatest teachers who are teaching right now say that we have to come to a true understanding of spirit and the worship of spirit in this way. Worshiping Jesus the Christ is not worshiping the personality of the man. We're not here to worship any man. But as the Christ expressing as the love of God from Jesus, he is demonstrating the truth of what God is. It's not Jesus the man, but the Christ energy radiating from Jesus or from any other spiritual teacher. When Vivekananda is talking about worshiping Jesus, he's not talking about that blind worship of those who see Jesus as God who left the universe to run for 33 years by himself. In this context, worshiping is simply the acknowledgement that Jesus expressed his divine nature perfectly on this planet. True worship isn't giving your power away. It isn't saying, "I'm weak and you're strong." Like Jesus, that song, "Jesus Loves Me." Yes, Jesus loves me. You are strong. I am so weak. Oh, forgive me. I'm just nothing. That's not what worship is. That's the opposite of worship. True worship is a celebration of divinity accomplished. True worship is to see someone who achieved their divinity, and we are celebrating that along with them. We're lifting ourselves up by saying, "They did it, and I can do this too. Thank you for being my teacher. Thank you for being my guide. I am celebrating what I know to be the truth." When I worship Jesus or Buddha or Krishna, it isn't to make myself smaller. It is to rejoice that somebody did it and is demonstrating the way to my full truth and my full strength. All great masters like Jesus, Dr. King, Eckhart, knew that all of us have this great potential within us too. Anybody who says it's only me and not you, that is not a true teacher. Run away as fast as you can. I once took a yoga class. It was the first one I ever had. It was in Fort Lauderdale, a long time ago. And during the closing meditation, we were lying on the floor. The lights were dim. We had our eyes closed. And at one point, I heard the door open very quietly, and I felt this incredible energy rush through me. It made my whole body vibrate. I felt like I could have levitated right off the floor. I'd never felt anything like that in my life. It felt like God walked into the room. We opened our eyes after the meditation, and there was a visiting yoga master from India sitting in front of us, beaming away, smiling. He looked like a 5-year-old with a beard. He looked like Yoda with long hair. And he just was giving all this love energy and just having a great old time just sitting there watching us. And I immediately got a hit on how powerful the love energy emanating from Jesus must have been. If I felt this from a yoga teacher just sitting there and just loving us, can you imagine being in the presence of somebody like that? Anybody ever get a hug from Amma? Now, how did that feel? Was it worth the wait? Somebody who has that energy and says, "Here is what you are," and it's just mirroring back the energy that is within us. That's true worship. It's celebrating and seeing this too can happen in my life. It was so powerful, this energy emanating from Jesus, that a Roman centurion just knew he had power. He knew what power was, and he said, "Look, you don't even have to go see this boy of mine, my servant. Just say the word, he'll be healed." And Jesus said, "Greater faith I've never seen in Israel. Go your way, your boy's healed." He knew what power was, and he knew that it didn't take being there physically to make it happen. The power of love transcends religion, nationality. It transcends every human experience. Love has no boundaries. Love only recognizes love. Again, the greatest commandment, Jesus said, was love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That includes loving you. You've got to love yourself if your life is going to work. So where our focus is, what we're expressing, is what our lives are about. So are you expressing love? Are you letting love flow, and are you seeing a loving life? Or is it something else that you're going through? Is it something else that you're putting out there? Proverbs 23, one of my favorite scriptures, says, as you think in your heart, so you are. The heart and the mind coming together here. Love and wisdom working together creates who you are. In other words, what you think about all day with emotion, what you focus all day on with passion, is what you have become. If you're not happy with your life, check and see what words are you saying with passion, telling everybody all day long. Are you focused on how unfair life is? That's your life. Are you focused on how awful your job is and how it's getting worse? You want to affirm that together? A little prayer work with that? Our chaplains can hold that with you later. My job's terrible. Well, let's know that together. No, of course not. But we keep saying that over and over again to anyone who will listen. How focused are you that love can't happen to someone like you? That you'll never find a mate, and you keep telling everybody exactly why. How terrible men are here in New York City. How many people have 10 reasons or more why guys are terrible here? Yeah, you're not putting your hand up now. One in the back there. Yes, thank you. But I've heard you. Mm-hmm. What you accept as your reality with passionate conviction becomes your life. It becomes who you are. Of Course in Miracles says the kingdom is you. You are this. It says, what else but you did the Creator create? And what else but you is God's kingdom? The kingdom is perfectly united and protected, and the ego will not prevail against it. Matter of fact, ego keeps it away. I shared the story before, but it's just a really wonderful reminder. Britt and I were going to visit my family up in Massachusetts years ago for Christmas. We went to the rental car place, and there was a long line of people really angry because there were no cars available. And they were just yelling at this poor clerk who, you know, he wasn't holding the cars back. They just weren't being turned in the way that they needed to be. So all these mainly guys stormed out. Said, we're going across the street to rent a car over there. And so we kept moving up in line, and we got to the line, and we were joking with them and trying to lighten up the mood a little bit, the poor guy. And as we were talking with them, an attendant brought a key out, and he said, okay, it's yours, you're next. So we were upgraded from a compact to a sedan. And as we drove away, we saw all those people outside between the two rental car places trying to decide what to do next. Whereas if they just stayed there, they would have had their cars. The cars were coming in. The ego thinks it knows what to do. But we decided, we're just going to love, we're fine, you know, we'll get there when we get there. You move right up. Let love direct your day. Let love direct what is happening in your life. The ego will not overcome the power of love if you let it just and entertain the idea that love is at work, that love is healing you, love is prospering you, love is bringing your car, love is bringing that wonderful chocolate, love is bringing whatever it is that you need to have in your life. It's right here, right now. There's a wonderful, powerful, wonderfully powerful technique on letting love flow. There's a wonderful group called HeartMath in California. Anybody heard of HeartMath? Yeah, they're doing really wonderful work out there. There are scientists, artists, and spiritual practitioners who have come together to prove the power of love is real. It's not a religious group at all, but just a group of people who look at a universal spirituality and see that there's a real scientific reason behind it. Charles Fillmore would have loved this group because Fillmore was very scientific in his approach to spirit. Now, they've been gathering mountains of scientific evidence that says the power of love is true. Some of the findings that they have about the power of love is that it balances and heals the body, that it increases mental clarity, by stimulating the neural cortex of the brain, that it releases stress by creating a body condition only found in deep sleep, and it creates what HeartMath terms heart intelligence, which is an increase in physiological, psychological, and intellectual functioning. In lay terms, we would say love makes you smarter. If you're letting love flow, then you are smarter than unloving people. They've discovered that the heart actually is smarter than the brain. That it's always revealing to the head. It's always trying to reveal to the head what to do. You know, often we say, oh, you know, my heart tells me one thing and my head tells me the truth. It's exactly the opposite. Your heart is telling you the truth. Your brain's trying to figure it out with limited information. But what happens is when the brain starts freaking out, it sends the energy, the electromagnetic energy, back to the heart, and the heart begins to pump and begins to feel anxiety. If there's too much anxiety, what happens is we get anxious and we get depressed because the heart knows the truth, but the head is not allowing the truth to flow forth. As a matter of fact, anybody ever have a panic attack? That's your head really being in charge. It's telling the heart, this is dangerous, this is dangerous. And the heart begins to say, oh, dear God, what's happening? And it begins to pump wildly. You feel like you're going to die because the heart is not in charge. The head is. So I went there one day, and I was amazed by all the information that they shared. They had a Petri dish that had all different heart cells from different people. As they placed the cells in there, you could actually, with the microscope, you could see they were pumping away, and within minutes, they all began to beat together. The heart intelligence is the heart is the smartest organ in your body, not the brain. So when your heart's telling you something, believe it. Go with your intuitive understanding. Go with your let love lead the way. So we're going to do that for a minute. They have a technique called freeze frame. It's really very powerful and very useful in a stressful situation to stop ourselves from going even more negative. So I want you to think of a challenging situation or challenging person that you're dealing with at the moment. I know it might take a little while, but bring that to mind. Who in your life is really challenging? What's going on there? Now, freeze framing begins with imagining yourself breathing through your heart. So I just want you to breathe through your heart. Close your eyes. And I want you to imagine the breath going through your heart. And with every breath you take, you're sending light and love through your heart. Breathe in and breathe out. Take another deep breath. Let it go. Feel the energy of love and life and joy flowing through you, cleansing the negative energy away from your heart. Now, I want you to see a loving time in your life. Recall a real positive, loving scene. Maybe it was a time when you were a kid with your family at Christmas. Maybe it was just a moment with your spouse or your partner, or playing with your kids, or holding your pet, a moment of tenderness with a really special person. Take a moment, and I want you to live in that memory and really feel like you're there right now. Focus on the love pouring from your heart for this person, for this time. Just be with it for a moment. Let your whole body be bathed in love energy. Breathe into it. Let it take hold. Really feel that you're there. This is the truth of you, the power of God at work. And now, established in this feeling of love, ask your heart about your challenge. What is the more effective and helpful response than what I have been giving? How can this challenge be taken care of by this power of love that I'm feeling right now? So focus on love. Listen to your heart for a moment. Let go of any unloving thoughts or feelings that you've been holding. Simply focus on this wonderful energy you've been creating and ask God within you, in your heart, in your intuitive understanding, what do I do about this situation? Breathe in. All right, take a deep breath and open your eyes. So that's just the beginning. That's the beginning of the process of freeze framing. You take a situation that is not working for you, you freeze it, you go to your heart, you ask divine love to bring forth this wonderful image, you feel the love flowing forth, and now you direct the love into this image, into this challenge, and you allow it to reveal what the answer is. It's very powerful and it works. So later today, I invite you to take this technique again and ask Spirit to reveal the truth through divine love what to do. You can do it any time at all, but you got to be willing to do it. You got to be willing to let go of the idea that your head is holding about the challenge and let your heart answer it. As the Course in Miracles says, do I want to be happy or do I want to be right? Am I willing to be happy and to let it go and to let love reveal what I need to do? Or do I want to be right about this? I had a wonderful conversation with somebody about forgiveness. They were really not getting it, and Spirit revealed that forgiveness is about letting love take our power back. Forgiveness is loving myself enough to not let this person control me anymore. That's what love is. To love yourself enough to be free. Not to condone what they did or said, but to say, they have no power in my life anymore. I'm taking them off my back. I'm giving them to God, and I'm going to live my life the way I want to. Are you willing to be healthy, love and forgive, let go, and let the love energy flow? Or you can continue to hold on to being hurt, to feeling angry, to being right in that way. Nobody said you're not right in what you're feeling, but do you want to be healthy? To be healthy means to let go of resentment, let go of what they did, and have a life that you want to have right now. So the Christ within you can only be fully born in a loving heart. In the Bible story, Mary and Joseph were turned away from the inn. The inn metaphysically means it's a place where a lot of people are. We call it thought people. All these different thought people, anxiety and fear and depression and failure and despair. We can't have our Christ self born into that energy. We need to feel the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of God, the hope of God, to let that wonderful energy be brought forth. I love the wonderful image of the little drummer boy. He came in, you know, everybody else is giving gold and frankincense and myrrh and cars and diamonds and furs, and the little boy walks in and says, oh, all I got is a drum here. And he looked at Mary, and she, as the song said, nodded. And he starts playing his drum, giving from the only thing that he had, and the Christ child lights up. Remember the light in the, it looks like he's glowing in the nativity scene. That's us. That's when we are in the midst of our joy, we're glowing with that wonderful Christ light. So the little drummer boy, he gave of his talent, he gave of his love, he gave of himself. And that's what you're called upon to do, to give of yourself this Christmas. Don't worry about not having the money to buy things. That's not what Christmas is about. It's about giving yourself, about giving a smile, a hug, lending an ear, having a cup of coffee with somebody so they can talk, giving a prayer. That's what we all want. We want you. Not you going to Macy's or Kmart or somebody saying, well, here, this is, that's all lovely and wonderful and great, but your presence for Christmas is the present that we're all looking for. Your love is the only valuable gift that you have. It's a true, lasting gift. When you think of people who have moved on from this planet that you loved, what they took with them was memories of you and the love that they shared at Christmas time or their birthdays or simply visiting them and having a cup of tea or a wonderful chat. When you think of people who have gone on before you, what do you remember about them? You remember their smile, their love, their hug, who they were. We don't remember what they gave us for Christmas or birthdays. Lovely they did that. But we remember who they are, their essence. Are you willing to be the Christ of God that Jesus said you are already? Then be willing to be the love of God for everybody that you meet today and see how different you are by the time you go to bed. You will be a new person if you let this wonderful love flow forth. You're going to find healing You're going to find abundance. You're going to find you're drawing the right and perfect mate that you've been looking for all this time. Well, guess what? You've become the right and perfect mate when you become loving. Close your eyes. Go to your heart. Are you willing to be happy and powerful and successful and loving and generous and sing your song, play your drum, open your heart to someone hurting? Be willing to be Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, Dr. King, Mother Teresa. How are you going to heal the planet today? What is your part in being the light of God, the love of God, the joy of God? Be the little drummer boy. Think love, feel love, act loving, play with love, speak loving and kind words, and that includes to yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat yourself with that pure love of God that you have not been fully doing yet. Breathe into your heart. And remember that you are a radiating power of divine love in the flesh at this very moment. And as you acknowledge it, celebrate it, and live it, you become more and more of who and what you really are. And we begin this process of turning within by singing our meditation song, I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, and all that God is. Breathe in and let love flow. Time, a little quieter. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. So blessed. Breathe in. Breathe in and let go. Let go of any pain, any fear, any doubt that you're holding in your heart, and only let love, peace, and joy flow forth. I am a radiating center of divine love in the flesh. How much we all need to remember and know that truth. There is nothing outside of yourself that has any power. Divine love and wisdom are fully at work right now, guiding, directing, revealing, supplying, restoring, and renewing your mind, soul, and body. Breathe that truth in. I invite you to bring back that love image. Really see the detail of that time
of that person, the situation? What were the smells? What were the colors? See the detail in the room or the place. Remember this time that you were safe and you were happy and whole. Truly in the divine flow of love and joy. Let that image take hold. Let that love energy increase as you hold to this picture. If there's pain or dis-ease anywhere in your body, I invite you to take this love energy and send it there. Send it with your breath, your thought, your energy. As the old song goes, love is the only power, love is the only way. Let that love take hold. And know that I am healed by divine love. I am healed by divine love. Breathe that truth in. I am healed by divine love. The abundance of the universe also moves by love, by passion, by joy, by bringing forth onto the planet your gifts, your talents, what you love to do. There is no lack for a loving child of God, passionately involved with letting life flow forth and doing what you came to do. I am a prosperous child of God living in divine love. I am a prosperous child of God living in divine love. Let that take hold. And we bless the people in your lives, whether they're here on the planet or still here, whether they've moved away, and perhaps there are even people you haven't met yet, maybe the love of your life. We bless them all as divine gifts, as God showing up in many different forms. We give thanks for those who were in our lives and continue to be in our hearts, and we bless those currently in the flesh. We see them happy, healthy, whole, prosperous, in the flow of peace and all good. We're so grateful for these divine beings reminding us and mirroring the love of God. In the quiet of your being, just for a few moments, feel love. Let that love take hold and know that this love is healing you, prospering you, blessing you, bringing forth everything you've ever dreamed and more. God is love. In the quiet of your being, let go and let love take hold.